hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Glad to have you with us on this rainy Monday morning, but I'll take that. I'll take that rather than 100-degree temperatures as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station. Right here in Kansas City, you can... who knows how you're listening to this program? Are you listening at 90.1 FM? Are you listening at kkfi.org? Are you listening on an app somewhere? Are you sitting at one of the benches waiting for the buses down at 39th and Main, where we have a speaker system on out there? You could be listening to us in any of those places and still learn about what's going on in the community here at KKFI. The Arts Magazine Show is part of the Arts lineup here on KKFI. Arts programs on Monday and Wednesday, and occasionally on other programs as well. The Fringe Festival is, if not entirely wrapped up, almost wrapped up, going on down there. Big success this year. It always is. And hope you were able to partake of some of this. Lots of things going on in the community. In the first part of the program today, we're going to talk to our friends over at the Unicorn Theater, where they have a gala. Their annual gala is coming up, and we're going to talk about their season as well. Ian Crawford, the development director, is with us, and Nick Son, the marketing director, is with us as well. A lot to go into putting on a big gala, but it sounds like you're going all out this year with dinner, wines, a performance. Boy, can't get much better than that.
Absolutely. It's a really, really fun evening. One of the highlights of our season for sure. And it's a chance for our patrons to get to see the unicorn in a way they never do usually. So it's always fun and exciting. We're really looking forward to it for sure.
Not too often you get the patrons up on stage.
Exactly.
But not in a way that they would be embarrassed. I guess the dining and the consuming of wine is going to happen on the stage. So you'll be on the stage. The actual entertainment will be going on throughout the rest of the place, where you usually sit, perhaps, is where they'll be sitting.
That's right. We call it the Take the Stage Gala. So
that's right.
We have a full-seated served dinner up on stage, served to you by some of Kansas City's best-known actors, while a concert version of a important show from our history is performed up on a stage over the audience seating. So it's a really unique time to get to experience the unicorn in a way you never do. So it's pretty cool.
And some of the, let's face it, some actors once were waiters and waitresses.
Well, sure, they're great at it.
They're probably very good at it, even though they've moved on from that and they're on the stage. But any little tidbits about the menu?
Well, sure. The food is going to be provided by Lon Lane's Inspired Occasions. We have some incredible entree options, and there'll be past hors d'oeuvres earlier in the evening at a patron party in a speakeasy set up in our Jerome stage. So that'll be the earlier part of the evening. And I think one of the really exciting parts is the entertainment, and this year it's going to be a concert version of selections from La Cage aux Folles, which is a musical that was really important in Unicorn Theater's history. It's wins Tony Awards left and right. I think it won Best New Musical and then won Best Revival twice. I mean, this thing is just unstoppable, and it's a really fun, really great evening, and we've got some incredible performance to bring it back to life, so it should be fun.
It's one of the important things of La Cage aux Folles is, of course, the costuming.
It's true, and yet this is a concert version, and so there's not the full spectacle that you might normally get from La Cage, but we've got a few tricks up our sleeve to really give you some of that exciting flavor. So
you have some of Kansas City's finest performers in that vein. Well, they're fine performers in any case, no matter what kind of show they're in, especially good doing a show like that.
Absolutely. So we have Ron McGee and Jim Kerenke are coming back to revive the roles that they had in our 2007 production of La Cage. And then additionally, Missy Koontz, Damron Russell Armstrong, Jacob Aaron Cullum, Vincent Onofrio Montalcino will all be performing in La Cage, and Anthony Edwards is doing the musical direction.
Some of the, remind people what some of the big songs from the show were.
Oh, I Am What I Am is really sort of the cornerstone of this show. And so Lekaj is based on, I believe, a play and a movie.
Originally a play, and then, you know.
Right, and then a movie.
Became, the Birdcage.
The Birdcage with Robin Williams was sort of our Americanized version, which was wonderful and fun. So it's that story of a couple that work in a drag bar whose son wants to get married to a very conservative girl, and they have to meet the parents, and hilarity ensues as they try.
Outrageous comedy.
Try and get them together.
Broadway and television's finest performers have been in that show at one time or another.
Absolutely.
It was Kelsey Grammer, I guess.
I got to see Kelsey Grammer play in New York.
Was he able to pull that
with Harvey Firestein? They were both great. Kelsey Grammer didn't stay in it long, but it was really interesting to see Harvey Firestein do it since he wrote it.
Oh, sure.
It was the first time he performed it. So he was
Did he do it a little different than most of the others?
He's not a classical singer, but he brings so much attitude and personality to it that it balanced it in a different way. But it was really pretty amazing to watch.
Oh, it's been years, but I remember reading in one of these gossip rags publications that Frank Sinatra was actually considering doing that. They didn't want him, but he actually wanted to do that particular part.
Wouldn't that have been cool?
Wouldn't that have been interesting to see his interpretation of that? Would have changed some things about his reputation, anyway. But he certainly had the voice for it at that point as well.
Yeah.
So you've got some fine performers going to be in there. Ron did theater. Oh, what was the name of Ron's theater? It's escaping me right now. Late Night Theater, where he did shows of this vein. Not Lekaj, I don't think, but he did shows of this vein. So he was ready stocked with costuming. Is he pulling out some of those costumes?
Well, you'll just have to come and see what he's going to be wearing. Unicorn has a wonderful and long relationship with Ron McGee as a performer in our spaces, and so it'll be wonderful to get him back on stage. And in fact, he's going to be on our stage again this season. He's going to be in our season closer this year in Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical, which we're all very excited about.
Then it's nice to see Jim Kerenke again. The first time I saw Jim Kerenke in drag was at the American Heartland Theater.
Oh, doing Ernest?
I think it was Ernest, he was in drag for that.
Right.
Jim Kerenke, as maybe all of you don't know, has played at the new theater, had a contract at the new theater for years.
Yeah.
He's now doing some other things, too. He'll probably be back at the new theater at some point. But having him, was a real feather in Cynthia's quiver, shall we say.
Absolutely. We love Jim. And Jim, I think, was last on our stage in Other Desert Cities. But he's a great friend of the theater. And, it was amazing to have him in Lekaj in 2007. And just so wonderful that we could get both of them back at the same time. These two very busy, talented actors in town, both being available for this weekend.
Sounds like a gala-type gala.
It does. Pulling out the stops.
Tuxedo required for the guys?
No. Nothing super formal at the Unicorn. So we have creative cocktail attire as the clothing recommendation. So.
And the ladies want to know, what should we wear?
Well, just whatever makes you feel like you're at a cocktail party.
I mean, no matter what you wear, Ron McGee will top you. But it should be an interesting evening. It's taking place, by the way, correct me on this, August 7th on the Levin stage. About what time will things get underway?
Oh, what, about 6:15?
Because you have several other things, I noticed. You're having what? Is it an auction or something like that?
Oh, there will be a live auction during the evening.
Uh-huh.
Some great travel packages will be auctioned off. Experiences, wonderful kind of packages that people who attend will get the chance to bid on.
People always ask when something like that is going on, do I make a bid ahead of time? Do I make my bid when I get there?
You can absolutely bid ahead of time. We have that capability on our website, unicorntheater.org. But part of the fun is being there in the moment, and you have Kathy Barnett and Eve Rojas on stage, as our guest auctioneers, and it's just a wonderful experience. And you know, all of the proceeds benefit this kind of bold, thought-provoking new theater that challenges conventions that, you know, the Unicorn has become known for over its past 43 seasons.
So the big gala on October 7th, starting in the early evening, with other activities. So what time will the dinner be with drinks and all of that? You know, do we know?
Dinner starts at, I believe, 6:45.
Okay.
And one thing that is pretty exciting, that if folks can't attend, they could still participate in the evening by buying a raffle ticket. We have an incredible wine tower that's been hand-built by an artisan in town that holds 42 bottles of wine, and it comes fully stocked with bottles of wine that are over 90 points on the Wine Spectator scale. So if anyone's interested in some amazing wine and a beautiful wine tower to store it in, they can buy a raffle ticket online on our website, unicorntheater.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can do that online as well. Mm-hmm. And you have so many things going on. There's a Are you sold out yet? Are you close to being sold out? Did they get going real
fast? Oh, we're really pretty close. I think if anyone wanted to come still, maybe they could try and call me this afternoon. We could see if we could work it out, but I don't know. I'm not sure we've got room for anyone else.
There's been a lot of demand.
I bet. The number I have is 816-531-7529, extension 12, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that, but you know, things are getting close here.
Yeah.
It's happening on the 7th, which is this Sunday evening. Yeah. Will the Unicorn be having a show that afternoon? Probably not.
No, not right now.
Yeah. They've done some amazing things at the Unicorn over the years. It has a 43-year history and started back as the Theater Workshop, if some of you remember that far back. They changed the name to the Unicorn, became a professional company, and really just took off from there. 43 years in the making. Does Cynthia Levin, does she often yonder back in her mind to her early days?
Well, we have our list of our production history proudly displayed on our website. You'll see photos of past productions all over the lobbies. We're very proud of that history, and I think anyone who has come to the Unicorn before will enjoy this upcoming season. We have so much that is in the spirit of Unicorn Theater, you know, challenging, thought-provoking new plays that haven't been seen in Kansas City or sometimes the entire region. We're bringing them here first.
So have you announced the 16-17 season?
We have.
Let's hear a little bit about that. If it's as provoking thought-wise as the gala, it should be pretty good.
Oh, you bet. Of course it is. Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing. We've got some great shows coming up this season. Our season opener is Hand to God by Robert Askins. This play started off Broadway, transferred to Broadway, was a huge hit. It's a sort of dark comedy, very sort of wickedly funny. It takes place in a small town in Texas, mostly in a church basement, in a church puppetry club, where by some means, one of the puppets gets taken over by the devil and begins to say all of the naughty, terrible things that that some of the people in the puppetry club wish they could express themselves. So it's a really hilarious, fun, dark comedy, which is going to be a great way to start the season.
Well, that's all part of puppetry, isn't it? And several puppeteers have told me over the years, is yes, you say things, you make social commentary, you comment on society, and you all do it in a safe way through the mouth of the puppet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Of course, it's actually you or the writer.
But and we're partnering with Paul Mesner's Puppet Theater once again. He'll be making this Tyrone, this wicked puppet, you know, with a, with a crude, lewd vocabulary. So it'll be a great way to kick off the season.
Sure. So that's your opener for the big season.
The ender of the season, we've kind of mentioned before, is Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which is, you know, based on that cult movie from the 1990s. Just, you know, three drag performers hop on a bus across the Australian outback, and it's full of dance floor favorites, you know, from Madonna and Cyndi Lauper and Donna Summer, and Ron McGee will be in that as well. So just we call it a journey to the heart of fabulous. So that's going to be an extraordinary musical to end the season.
Another chance to pull out all the stops and just do a real big, glitzy musical. It's going to be a ball.
Well, Ron McGee will be in it. One of the, co-directors are Cynthia Levin and Missy Kuntz.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Missy being a longtime friend and partner of Ron professionally.
Yes.
They've done many shows together, as well as being friends for many, many years. When they were here one time, they told me they met in college. And, you know, they had things in common. Then that kind of cemented their friendship, and it kind of took off from here. You know, she's been in his shows, he's been in her shows. It makes for a pretty good partnership, I guess. And she'll be directing him in the show.
Absolutely.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, the musical.
Yes.
Booked by Stephen Elliott and Alan Scott, if you follow their careers as well. What else would you like to talk about from that new season? You have lots of interesting things here.
Well, I got to say, Ian, I'm pretty excited about Application Pending, which is the one-woman comedy in December that I'm going to be directing.
Yeah.
Hard not to be excited about it. But so the sort of premise of Application Pending is that this woman, Christine, has just a hell of a first day as a kindergarten admissions officer at a prestigious Manhattan prep school. So she's got the phone ringing off the hook, and she's talking to all these parents who are just dying to get their kid into this school. And so she plays not only Christine, but a whole host of other wild characters on the phone who are, you know, trying to get what they need out of her. So it's going to be really, really fun.
Now, this is the rather cutthroat thing, you know, getting your kid in the schools. I mean, there's a lot of competition there.
Yeah, you just hear crazy stories about people trying to get their kid into kindergarten. And just, can you imagine?
Like, what won't they do?
College applications, basically, to get the child into kindergarten. So it sounds like just a really wild world, and it'll be really fun to explore.
Is this the kind of situation where people have to get their kid on the registration even before they're out of the room?
Before they're born.
Yes.
Right. You hear these stories. So it should be an interesting world to dive into.
Yeah, and you're directing. Is it harder directing a one-person show than it would be a cast of people? It's all dependent on the performer, of course.
Totally, and it's they're both very different experiences. You have different needs that you're trying to make happen when you're working with one person or 12. I'm really excited for the challenge, though. I've worked on a one-woman musical before, but it's been many years, and so it'll be fun to get back into the groove of what it's like to just be with one other performer in the room.
A lot of pressure on the lady doing that show. It's just her.
Well, it's true, and, you know, Unicorn's been doing a lot of one-person shows, and it's a real roller coaster, real gauntlet to run, but they're some of our most fun productions. Often they're comedies, and we've just had some incredible successes with that. So we're really excited to do another one. And this year, Katie Carl is going to be performing in Application Pending, so it should be great fun.
You also do costuming, and as I understand it, you're doing costuming for or more of the shows.
I am a director and designer, and I'm going to be designing costumes for The Way We Get By, which is a new play by Neil LaBute, a playwright who we haven't often produced The Unicorn, but Cynthia Levin, our artistic director, saw this production in New York, and she really loved the play. And it's fabulous. It's really great. It's a two-hander, two-person play. Sort of premise is that two people wake up after a one-night stand, and things get complicated from there.
As they don't want to do.
Yes. So I'm really excited to work on that. It'll be mostly contemporary clothes. They're in their underwear for a while, so that'll be interesting.
Well, but as costume designers, you have to pick out just the right kind of underwear.
You certainly do. You gotta get just, especially when you're only dealing with two people on stage. You gotta nail those costumes, right? They've really gotta tell everything they need to. So
the underwear might be very important in a scene.
Well, it certainly is. It's almost the only thing they're wearing.
That's right. The Way We Get by Neil LaBeau. Am I saying that right?
LaBute.
LaBute. Yeah, that'll be October 19th through November the 13th. Yeah, we should have been giving the dates of some of these shows as they progress through the season. I guess so it opens with Hand to God, and that is September 7th. That's not very far away. Through October the 2nd, and then The Way We Get By is October 19th through November the 13th. Have we talked about an Octoroon yet?
We haven't. No, an Octoroon is a... another show that we're doing in December. In December, we always try and have two shows going back-to-back. You know, lots of people in town for the holidays, and so it's great to have the opportunity to see two different shows at the Unicorn. Or, you know, you can pick and choose, see what you're feeling like that night, and see two very different shows. So An Octoroon is actually tackles the issue of race in America and looks at it through the lens of 19th century plantation melodrama, but reinvents it, dealing with today's issues of race relations. And it's fascinating and hilarious and dark and really, really fun. It's one of the most interesting plays I've read recently.
I'm going to take a stretch here, and if I'm wrong, just tell me you're wrong, Michael. Mm-hmm. Octoroon, that would be 1/8 of black. Yes, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There
would be concerns with that. I don't know what the law was at that time, but there were actually laws on the book, you know, of what percentage are you.
Right, and an octoroon was still considered black.
If you were even 1/8, you were considered black, even though that was a small part of your DNA. Of course, they didn't know of DNA then.
Yeah, and so there's a woman in the play who is an octoroon, who she's very beautiful, and everyone's in love with her, and there's all sorts of drama ensues when the man who used to own her as a slave, who was like a father to her and never treated her that way, but he passes away, and so her status as a sort of previously incidentally free person comes into question because someone is going to inherit this slip of paper for her.
Oh yes, people
property.
When it comes to money and things like that, people go to all lengths for things like that. That'll run November the 30th through December the 26th. We talked about application pending. That will run December 7th through December 26th. So a lot of those two will be going on at the same time. So one I guess is at the Jerome, and one is on the Levin stage. Now the Unicorn has two stages, by the way, for those of you who don't know. We talked about how to use a knife, January the 25th through February the 19th. I don't believe we've talked about Eclipse yet, have we? I guess the one you're directing.
Oh no.
Did we talk about, I think, how to use a knife? We'll have a restaurant kitchen on stage.
Oh, now this sounds... Yeah, we talked about this before.
Jeff George, you know, he's getting a second chance at life with this new kitchen, and it's behind the scenes. You can watch the kitchen sizzling and knife skills, but really it's about this small kind of pressure cooker of an environment. The chef and his Guatemalan line cooks, his entitled young busboy, and the dishwasher, and so secrets from the past kind of bubble to the surface, and you kind of realize the interconnectedness of lives, and it's going to be fascinating to get that full kind of kitchen on stage, and it's a National New Play Network rolling world premiere, so it's new work. You might remember it from our In Progress New Play Reading series this past year. And it's going to be a fascinating show on our Levin stage.
Yeah, an actual stage, an actual kitchen on the stage.
Yeah, working
kitchen. That'll be a great job for a set designer for something
Absolutely.
Like that.
It'll be a fun challenge.
I'll bet it will. That will run January 25th through February the 19th. Then, beginning on March the 8th, Eclipsed.
Right. That's a play from Danai Gurira, who plays Michonne on AMC's Walking Dead. She's a very talented playwright. It's about five women who are brought together by civil war in Liberia, and four of them are kind of held captive as wives of this rebel commanding officer, and the fifth works to free them. And it's just a very dramatic, you know, and challenging and complex look at the lives of these women who make complicated and nuanced choices, and it's just it's going to be a fantastic show.
With the backdrop of the upheaval, civil war in Liberia, a lot of war going on in African countries, unfortunately, and a lot of lives have been lost, so it's a serious matter. That will be happening March the 8th through February the 2nd.
Definitely a tale of humor and resilience in the face of... Civil War.
Yeah. And then, beginning April 19th, I'm going to pray for you so hard.
Yeah. Interesting title, right? So this is another two-hander in our season, and one that I'm really excited about. I got to see this play in New York City, and its world premiere, and it is really just intense and passionate play about a father and a daughter and their relationship, and sort of the complicated relationship that that family can sometimes create, and especially it deals quite a bit with addiction and the effects of addiction in that family dynamic. So a really beautiful play, dark and funny, and it also deals with sort of the cult of theater in an interesting way. The father is a famous playwright, the daughter is an aspiring actress, and they spend much of the first scene of the play trying to decide whether they can read her review, her first off-Broadway review together. So they're sort of gearing up for that. And it's fun and funny and sad and touching. And really moving, and that's going to be featuring two favorite performers at the Unicorn, Ted Sweats and Dina Thomas. So we're very excited to have them back, and together they have a long history and relationship together. Dina was a student of Ted's, I think both in undergrad and at UMKC in graduate school, and Dina's gone on to do wonderful work here at the Unicorn and across the country. So it'll be really, really interesting to have them bring that rich history together to this relationship in this play of father and daughter. So,
well, it will. And then the season concludes with Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. We talked about it, the musical featuring Ron McGee.
Yeah.
And that ought to be hilarious as well.
Yeah, really fun, really funny. And gosh, just great music. It's all music you know, and just going to be performed.
So you can find more information about this at all of the shows. Call them up. Question them about it.
Yeah.
UnicornTheater.org, or the number to call is 816-531-7529, extension 10, or 531-PLAY. It's still in effect for all of that. But remember, coming up this Sunday, the gala is coming up. Dinner, wines, a raffle. You can bid on items, and you'll see a concert-style performance of La Cage aux Folles featuring, I guess, Ron McGee and Jim Kerenke. Who else did we say?
Missy Koontz. Cameron Russell Armstrong. Vincent Montagino and Jacob Baron-Cullum. So it's a really exciting lineup.
Yeah, the Unicorn Theater is located at 3828 Main. A lot of times we say walk up, but I wouldn't do that for the gala. I would check this out ahead of time. And if you need to MapQuest things, the zip code you need to feed in there is 64111. Sounds like you have a lot going.
We do. Yes, one really exciting thing that we have going on this season that's new is instead of buying a full season ticket, you can get a membership ticket. Mm-hmm. And that gets you six tickets that you can use however you want. You can go by yourself to six shows. You can go with a friend to three shows. You could take five friends to one show. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a lot of flexibility. A lot of times people are sort of don't want to do that. That commitment feels a little tough to get a full season ticket. So this was our answer to that, and really gives a lot of flexibility and makes it more accessible for everyone. So
inquire about that at unicorntheater.org or the number 816-531-PLAY. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us about it. Sounds like it's going to be really glamorous over there.
Absolutely. It certainly will.
Thank you, wonderful.
Eben Crawford, the development director, and Dick Son, the marketing director of the Unicorn Theater. Their big gala this Sunday, August the 9th, the 7th, this Sunday, the August the 7th, 816-531-7529, or unicorntheater.org. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Michael.
We'll take a brief break. When we return, we have much more to send your way. We're going to stay classy. This is a classy show today. The Lawrence Opera Theater will be with us when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Classy program today, right? We're talking about a big gala going on at the Unicorn Theater, and now we're going to talk to the Lawrence Opera Theater out in Lawrence, Kansas. We have a lot of listeners, I know, out in Lawrence, Kansas, because we know when donation time comes, we hear that there's a lot of people out in Lawrence that listen to the shows here on KKFI, so thank you for driving all this way. Do you all live in Lawrence, all three of you here?
Actually, I do,
but our two other colleagues are Kansas Cityans.
Okay. Well,
that's a word.
The first verse you heard was Hugo A. Vera, the founding artistic director and general and artistic director of the Lawrence Opera Theater.
Yes.
Does that cover all your titles, or are there more that I have?
I'm also a candlestick maker.
Really?
And, props, everything.
That's worthy of an interview right there. Making candles is not an easy thing to do.
I know, right?
It's not. I've witnessed this. At times I even had a class way back when on making a candle. I just remember how difficult it was. But thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
Matt Haney is the director for one of the shows involved.
Yes, Zidon and Aeos.
Okay. Thank you for coming. That's all I really have on your background. Tell me about it. Do you also sing? You have a deep voice.
I was a singer. I stopped singing like 9 years ago. I'm directing now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Exclusively directing? Could you be persuaded to come out of dancing retirement?
I don't think you have that much money.
So. Money. Okay. Well, that puts a hold in. Shelly Birch is with us. She is a mezzo. Mm-hmm. She is performing in various shows during the season, and I assume some of these shows that are coming up for the Shakespeare. It's actually the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death.
Yes.
And some people, I was asked the other day, why Shakespeare's death? Why not Shakespeare's birth?
Because it only happens once every 400 years.
Right.
Well, I think it's this realization on his 400th anniversary, the major contributions that Shakespeare has done for the arts, not just his plays. And it's kind of bled in into other genres, musical theater, ballet, opera, and even art song, and even pop music.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have several events coming up to celebrate Shakespeare's death. Celebrating his death sounds kind of
odd. It's a death day.
Do they know exactly what day, or was it his birthday or his death day? Because I remember way back when I was in school, there was a question of one or the other, or had they discovered since then?
I believe his death, and feel free to call. We'll actually give you tickets for the season.
Oh.
I believe his death date was April 23rd or 22nd. Only because I did a concert and I remember that, I think.
That's good. That's
but
good.
Don't quote me.
Good memory, Hugo. Good memory. But you have several events going on. One of your events, you want to go in chronological order, at the Castle Room on August the 5th at 7:30, Shakespeare at the Castle, Songs and Sonnets.
Yes. The great thing about Lawrence, aside from its amazing restaurants and its small town, feel, is that it also has lots of amazing venues. And one of them is the Castle Tea Room, which is a big. It's not a castle, but it's a beautiful home. And what we're trying to do is reenact, the era of parlor songs, when people would come in. Have some wine, have some hors d'oeuvres, and sit back and have people sing for each other and sing part songs and choruses. And we figured this would be a great way of showing off the contributions that Shakespeare did for art song.
Okay, the phone is ringing now, and I have no way of answering.
Oh, someone is calling to correct me.
If someone on the staff could pick it up and get the name, is that what you want, the name and the address?
Yes, I want the name and also the date so we can actually get it correct. And we'll put his name on our Facebook page.
Okay.
And him or she or them, and they will get 2 complimentary tickets for a performance.
Okay. I don't know how many staff are here today, because when it's bad weather, they tend not to come. they keep calling, and someone will get it and explain to them what we talked about here. Because I don't have a way of picking it up in here right now. But you wouldn't want them to answer any questions or anything?
Sure. If they have any, here's another good question. What was the name of the first Shakespearean inspired opera?
Oh, a work of Shakespeare that was inspired to be opera.
Uh huh.
Hmm.
Here's a hint. You can go to our website and find out.
Yes, they can. Would it have been the mystical one with the that had fairies and all of that?
Yes,
it?
That's yes. The one?
Okay.
That's
a bit more. Most of the hint.
You gave them a good hint.
That's
there.
A good hint. Talk about that. But they'll be able to see at least the music from this, or is it a full production?
Well, I mean, what we're doing is we're actually showing off 2 things. One, the first inspired opera, but also showing Purcell's only real opera that he composed. And it was actually composed for an all-girls school. Mm-hmm. They must have had really low voices at that girls' school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going back to the Castle Tea Room, they will get, you know, if you come, which we hope you do, we will have wine and we'll have hors d'oeuvres and, you know, to give that feel of what it was like to be in a parlor, you know, environment. And it's a really great way to spend your evening in Lawrence.
And some of the early Shakespeare men played the ladies' roles as well, so this really isn't that much of a stretch.
Mm-mm. Well, that's true. That's very, very true. And I bet they looked fabulous.
I bet they did. I'll bet they did. Not as good as Ron McGee and Jim Karinke, probably, but probably pretty good.
I challenge them to come and... No, I'm just kidding.
Ron would come.
Perfect.
Now, this is Shakespeare at the Castle. It's on August the 5th at 7:30 p.m. at the Castle Tea Room. That's located at 1307 Mass Street, or Massachusetts Street, if you need to MapQuest things, 66044 for that. And I suppose the information is probably also available at lawrenceopera.org.
Yes, and also our Facebook page. And if they want to go directly to where they can purchase tickets, they can go to the Theatre Lawrence website, and they can do it at a click of a button.
Okay. Kelly Birch, Mezzo, is performing in this season. Which one of these shows are you performing in? Or all of them? Maybe you're in all of them.
No, I'm performing at the Castle Tea Room.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad I asked that.
Yes. And then also the 2 performances of Dido and Aeneas.
Yeah. Now, opera is difficult anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Are these particular songs any more difficult than a regular opera would be?
Well, it is a regular opera.
Well, the way Shakespeare would write, you know, was difficult for some actors at least. What about a singer doing some of that?
It has its own difficulties, sure, just like any piece of music to sing. It is very rhythmic. Mm-hmm. You know, some parts are very fast or very slow, and you really have to pay attention. You want to make sure that the words are very clear so that everyone understands, especially because it's in English. It'd be a shame if nobody understood, even if it was in English.
Yeah, that happens at the opera. You probably speak several languages.
Some.
Yeah. Some. Most of the operas seem to be in Italian, but I've heard some in French and I think German as well.
Mm-hmm. German, Spanish, Russian. There's lots of operatic languages.
Where did you study for your opera training?
Sure. I got my undergraduate degree at the University of California in Irvine, and then I got my master's degree at the San Francisco Conservatory, and I'm currently pursuing my doctorate at the University of Missouri, Kansas City.
Okay. Okay. Still call in if you want to know. No? No one's there to answer the phone? Okay. Wait till after the show's over. Then we'll come out and we'll do that, okay?
There. I dare you to call.
Okay. One of the calls was missed. Don't give up. Wait till the show's over and then call back. And you'll get in. You can probably talk to Hugo personally about this.
Yes, of course. Put me in my place.
About all this. So which shows are in the season are you singing in? You're singing in several of these that I have in front of me?
At the Castle Tea Room, uh-huh. Right, and the two performances of Dido and Aeneas.
Oh, okay. And your director for that show is right here
yes.
as well. Tell us about that. That is happening on August the 14th at, I have this down here, at...
August 12th and August 14th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't write down where. Is this at the Bauer Farm?
Yes, this is actually okay. at Theatre Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
And they are located at Bauer Farm Street.
Oh, I see. 4660 Bauer Farm Drive, Lawrence, Kansas. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Even though it says a farm, it's not at a farm.
No.
They couldn't, Annie, if it was.
Hey, you could have transformed a barn, into a wonderful opera mm-hmm. performing
yes.
area.
Well, wait till you hear about a little bit more about the influence of the plot and what we're doing. I mean, our goal is to make opera more accessible to everybody. And, you know, we take great pride of being one of only two opera companies in the entire state of Kansas. Mm-hmm. And having somebody as talented as Matt coming in and working with, you know, this company, this is our seventh season and going strong and growing and attracting new viewers. And we appreciate all the individuals that come from Kansas City to, you know, not only attend our operas, but also to be in our shows.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us about the show you're directing.
Well, we are doing Dido and Aeneas, which is one of the, like you were saying, one of the first operas ever written, 1690, 1691, I think, around in there. Like you say, it was written for an all-girls school at first. And then I believe, changed some of the parts a little bit around to include male roles as well. We are doing a very interesting concept. Ugo and I like to set operas in interesting ways and figure out new ways to kind of interpret these older shows. And we are setting it in an asylum. Yes, I know. It's very exciting. Everybody's a patient in the asylum, except for Kelly, who is our psychiatrist doctor, as the sorceress.
The villainess.
I don't know what that says, but about the mental health system.
It says amazing, wonderful things.
It reminds me of Murat Saad. Have you ever seen Murat Saad?
Mm.
Okay, that reminds me of that. Go on.
Yeah, and our idea is that it's a little bit about, like, past lives, like Dido and Aeneas are these lovers, and they're always fated to never end up together. And so in this version, Dido is remembering all this past life with Aeneas, and everyone thinks she's crazy, but it actually happened, and they've ended up in the same asylum with this villain who always is persecuting the two lovers. So it's kind of fun. We're having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll bet. Do the inmates sing more? I say inmates. Do the patients sing more? Or does the doctor sing quite a bit?
The patients sing a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of chorus work in Dido and Aeneas. They really get featured heavily. It's mm-hmm. good music. Yeah, and of course the villainess sings some. Oh, well, she has to sing about having mischief and ruining people's lives and delighting in it.
Yeah, exactly. I would love to hear the background and when you talk to these people and you explain to them how to get into character.
Well, that's what's kind of cool. Is like I really like to feature the chorus, especially in a show that has lots of chorus, like to make them each an individual person. So I've made them all research a specific mental illness and how it like manifests itself physically, so they take a lot of ownership and make it a little bit more interesting for them.
Sounds great. Now that is going on. That's the last play. August 14th at 2:30 p.m.
The 12th is at 7:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And then we have the matinee on Sunday, the 14th.
Okay, August the 12th at 7:30 p.m. and August the 14th, which is Sunday then, at 2:30 p.m. That'll be at the Lawrence Opera Theater. It's located at 4660 Bauer Farm Drive, Lawrence, Kansas. The number I have to call for more information is 785-843-7469. And their website, of course, lawrenceopera.com. ORG. But there are other shows here. Brush Up Your Shakespeare, for instance, is happening on August the 13th. Tell me about that. We all need to brush up on our Shakespeare.
Always. Especially after 400 years.
That's right.
But, like I said, our goal is to show the wide influence of Shakespeare in every facet dealing with the voice. And one of them is, of course, musical theater. So this is our musical theater cabaret that occurs on the 13th. And we are not only featuring Shakespeare-inspired musicals, like, for, of course, West Side Story based on Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah, several of them have been
And so we're featuring things like even lesser known, for example, Boys from Syracuse as well, which is based on Gentlemen of Verona. And All Shook Up, which is based on... What show is that based on? Measure for Measure, I believe.
Mm.
And The Lion King, which is loosely based on Hamlet. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually giving you little vignettes of each one of those shows, but also in between, we are featuring more of the modern musicals, for example, Next to Normal, Something Rotten, She Loves Me, and so we want to give you a little bit of everything. But just to show, how Shakespeare has influenced the world of musical theater.
Oh, sure. People would be surprised how many modern works actually have a basis
in works of Shakespeare. Even movies, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a good one. No, that snuck up on me. But, yeah, you're absolutely right.
So that's what we're showing. We're showing that these heavily influenced things. And of course, movies have been influenced by the Bard. And we want to highlight that, it wouldn't be complete. Plus who doesn't love a good musical, right?
Sure.
I mean, I know I do. So that's another example of our goal for the season.
Oh, sure. And Shakespeare then getting transferred, it gets transferred over to opera. Mm-hmm. And because of the language, the meter and all of that, does that fit into what an opera singer wants to do?
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's all a form of expression. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful.
And then we're actually showing that on our first concert at Theatre Lawrence, and that's on the
11th?
Well, at the 11th at Theatre Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Well, I should get back in order here, because we may have skipped something. At the Castle Room on August the 5th at 7:30 p.m., Shakespeare at the Castle, Songs and Sonnets. Then, at Theatre Lawrence on August the 11th at 7:30 p.m., The Bard's Tale, Opera and Words from Shakespeare. Then, on August the 12th, the next day, this person was August 11th at 7:30. Then, August the 12th at 7:30, say it again for me.
Dido and Aeneas.
And the Fairy Queen. Don't forget her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't get the answer away.
At 7:30 p.m. at Theatre Lawrence. Then on August the 13th at 7:30 p.m., Brush Up Your Shakespeare. And then on the 14th, another performance of the Fairy Queen and the other show as well. I guess I should have done it the other way around and not given away the title. But again, the Castle Room is located at, I wrote all this down, let's see if I have it right, 1307 Mass Street, the main drag, running through Lawrence. Yep. And then the rest of the shows are at Theatre Lawrence. Theatre Lawrence is located at 4660 Bower Farm Drive in Lawrence. Now, if for those who aren't familiar with Bower Farm Drive, they probably know where Mass Street is.
It's off 6th Street.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that tells you much. Just Google map it. Just Google map it.
When you're on Mass Street, what is a good connecting street?
Actually, if you're coming, what's the...
I-70.
If you're coming through I-70, mm-hmm. you actually hit 6th Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you
it's
get off
it. It's
on
the west end of town.
It's in the west end of town.
Yeah. When they go to your website, is this... directions are explained for them?
At Theatre Lawrence's website, which is theatrelawrence.com.
Or lawrenceopera.org.
That's our website,
uh-huh.
and we're doing this in association with Theatre Lawrence.
Okay.
So our productions take place at the wonderful, wonderful Theatre Lawrence. Mm-hmm. They're fantastic, and the facilities are a dream, and y'all should come check that out as well. I wanted to go back and talk a little bit about the Bard's Tale, because that's, if you want to get your full fill of operas in one night, that's the night to go, because we cover a big chunk of, the influence of Shakespeare in different operas. We do some, Verdi's Macbeth, we do Verdi's Falstaff, Othello, Gounod's Romeo and Juliet, and even lesser, more rare operas, for example, Le Marchand de Venise by Reynaldo Hahn. Yeah, I didn't know he wrote an opera either. So you should come and find out, because it's awesome. And also a new opera that actually got revised and brought back on the stage called Amleto, which is based on Hamlet. But also, you know, for example, Bryn Smith's Some Night's Dream. I mean, we cover a lot of Shakespeare plays in just, you know, 3 days. It's a lot.
You are covering a lot of ground.
You'll be all shaken up. Shaken up.
is this the main time of the year for Opera Lawrence? Do you do other shows throughout the year?
What we do is, I mean, this is our main season. It's in the summer. And it was all started because there is a need for this in the summer months. You know, Lyric Opera of Kansas City takes, you know, a break. And there really isn't anything else around the area. So when this was first started 7 years ago, it started with that mission of trying to fill that void that's taking place. And, you know, luckily for us, it's stayed on and has grown. And hopefully we continue to grow, especially if you want to donate, because we are a nonprofit and you can deduct us from your taxes.
If they itemize.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
They itemize.
Of course.
That's the way that works. Well, nice having you here. Again, I'll go through it rather quickly. We're running short of time. At the Castle Room on August the 5th at 7:30, Shakespeare at the Castle, Songs and Sonnets. At Theater Lawrence, August the 11th at 7:30, The Bard's Tale, Opera and Words from Shakespeare. On August the 12th at 7:30, Dido and Arenas. And the Fairy Queen, am I even close?
Dido like the singer. Aeneas like the character from Virgil.
Okay. August the 13th at 7:30, Brush Up Your Shakespeare. On August the 14th, a repeat of Dido and Arenas.
Dido.
Okay.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's okay.
If they know, they know how to do it right. And the number to call for more information, 785-843-7469, theater or online at lawrenceopera.org. The Lawrence Opera Theater is located at 4660 Bauer Farm Drive in Lawrence, Kansas. But the first show is actually on Mass Street at the Castle Tea Room. All right? I got all that right?
Yes. Good job.
I wish you I wish you all much success in the show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
A big venture like this is always very difficult to do.
It's a blessing, and we want you all to come out and enjoy the blessings with us.
August 5th is this Friday. So
yes.
If you're interested in this, you got to get on it right away. I want to thank my guest, Hugo Vera, the founding artistic director of Opera Lawrence. You've been on with me before. Was it easier this time?
So much easier in a bigger space. It makes it even better.
We have moved since then. Matt Haney, the director, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Who knows? They might lure you out of singing retirement. No, he's saying no.
No, he's really good. Don't let him. He's very humble.
And Kelly Burt's mezzo-soprano. She plays the sorceress in one of the shows, and is also featured in how many of the shows are you featured in?
In the Castle Tea Room, which is on August 5th, and then in the two productions of Dido and Aeneas.
Yeah, thank you so much, all of you, for being with
you.
The best of luck to you out there in Lawrence.
Thank you.
Where culture grows in Lawrence. There's almost every kind of culture and ethnic breakdown you can find in Lawrence, Kansas.
Of course. We grow culture like we grow corn. Do they grow corn?
Well, they do everywhere. They do in Kansas.
They do.
Thanks so much for being with us. Again, the website, lawrenceopera.org, 785 for the phone number, 785-843-7469. Thanks so much for being with us today and telling us all about it. The Jazz Insider is next. Great jazz. He has some great things planned for you today, as he always does. Jazz from 1 to 3, then we'll pick up with the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.